local news, culture, and NPR.
I'm Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then. On today's program, I'm really excited to have live music right here in the studio. Mike Brown is with me today. And we're also going to hear a couple of new songs from Jesse Wells. Well, if you've been listening to my show in the past month or so, I've been playing a lot of new music from a young singer-songwriter named Jesse Wells that I've just recently discovered. And he releases a song almost every week. It's pretty amazing. And there's a couple of songs that he's written that I really want to share with you today. And they're fairly serious songs. Like they're extremely serious songs. And it's in a vein of music that I think of as a protest song. And when I, you know, singer-songwriters, that's the whole thrust of my program. Singer-songwriters when I was in high school and the Vietnam War was happening and we were having drafts, and there was no internet. There wasn't anything like that. And the music was the way that everybody would come together around the ideas. Protest songs started out as social commentary, you know, Bob Dylan, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, all that stuff. And it was so important in the culture. And those serious ideas changed our culture and drove change into the world. And it seems like today, 60 years later, 50 years later, that music has a different role now. It doesn't seem to be the cultural driving force that it was. There's so many different outlets for news and sources. And so a lot of the music that I hear doesn't really address some of the deeper and more complicated issues. There's a lot of love songs. And I love songs. Don't get me wrong. But it's just really special to hear this young man, he's 29 years old, he's from Arkansas, weigh in on war. You know, Phil Oaks. All of these things. And the reason I admire him so much is that he has an incredible range of expression in his songs. And we're going to hear two songs today. War Isn't Murder. Both of these songs are about war. War Isn't Murder. And then the second song is called War Is a God. And when I think of War Isn't Murder, what does that mean? Well, you know, most of the wars, and there's so many wars going on in the world today, a lot of them, most of them, either it's about property or it's about religion. And religion is usually used as the justification for war. But as I recall in the Old Testament, which I believe a lot of Judeo-Christian religions share the Old Testament, you know, thou shalt not kill. And so war isn't murder. War isn't murder. You can justify war. That's what the song is about. So I hope this resonates with you. And I think it's really important to listen to some of the younger voices coming out. So this is Jesse Wells. This song is called War Isn't Murder.
War isn't murder. Don't die, children don't starve, and all the women survive. War isn't murder, lads if they slay, and you're fighting the devil. Murder's okay. War isn't murder, they're called casualties. There ain't a veteran with a good night's sleep. Let's talk about dead people. I mean, a dead people. The dead don't feel honor, they don't feel that brave, they don't. kids are lucky if they got graves. Call your dead mother, ask her when she died. It's a deathly silence on the other line. The dead don't talk, but their children don't forget. So in 20 short years, you can live to regret. War isn't murder, there's money at stake. Hell, even Kushner agrees it's good of real estate. War isn't murder, ask Netanyahu. He's got a song for that, he's got a bomb for you. War isn't murder, it's an old desert faith. It's a nation state sanctioned righteous hate. Let's talk about dead people. I mean a dead people. War isn't murder, it's the vengeance of God. See the bodies, they don't blow when they rot. And the flies don't swarm, and the children don't cry. If war is a murder, good men don't die. So in a short 20 years, will you vacation the strip? Try not to think about the dead. And have a nice trip. War isn't murder, let's all give thanks. I saw it all in a movie, give it up for Tom Hanks. War isn't murder, they don't ship out the poor. And the bullets they fire ain't part of the cure. War isn't murder, land is a right. But the bank's called dibs, it's something you can't fight. Let's talk about dead people. I mean a dead people. The dead don't feel honor, they don't feel that brave. Don't feel avenged, they're lucky if they got graves. Call your dead mother, ask her when she died. It's a deathly silence on the other line. The dead don't talk, but the children don't forget. So in 20 short years, you can live to regret that.
Let's split up. You go one way, I'll go the other. Us to find some truth, go back and help his brother. Maybe man don't make the war, maybe it's lying there and waiting. All it needed was our mud and blood and guts and guns and hate. Maybe man don't make the war, maybe it's calling all our names. Come ye winners, lose your souls. Come ye losers, die in vain. Let's split up. You go south, and I'll go north. On a race to do some good. Come back with your report. It don't matter who was here first. It don't matter who was last. All that matters is we're here right now. Let the past just be the past. Bloodshed and starvation. Bloodshed, take heed. They both got the same damn God. They just don't know how to read. Maybe war is a god. And we're just super superstitious. It's gonna take a lot of blood. Cause boy, are we religious. You go one way, and I'll come with. Find a way to spread some love. And I wonder if maybe man don't make the war. Maybe war is just a god. And every bullet, every bombshell, meditation's thrown aloft. Bloodshed and starvation, bloodshed and pain. We all got the same damn God, we just call it different names. Maybe war is a god, and we're just super superstitious. It's gonna take a lot of blood, cause boy are we religious. Let's get together. Go look, open your mind. War is over if you want it. If you don't, then that's alright. I saw the man who made a war. His
his right hand blown apart. Throw a stick at a machine, it was his final work of art. Seated bleeding out, his kneecap taken off, and that's the story of the whole world. I can't seem to make it stop.
That powerful song is called War is a God. It's by Jesse Wells. And right before that, we heard another song from him called War Isn't Murder. So, you know, I really enjoy when someone is writing at that kind of pace that he's writing and releasing something. Now, these are not actually recorded in a studio. You can follow him on YouTube. It's fascinating. He's an amazing singer-songwriter. So, you know, I love music, and this is a music program, but there is a little bit of important weather news that I need to bring to you. The National Weather Service has issued a red flag warning until 7 tonight for parts of Radio Catskill listening area that include Orange County, Pike County, and most of Sullivan and Ulster counties, plus an elevated risk of wildfire spread in Pike, Southern Wayne, and the remaining parts of Ulster and Sullivan counties. Dry condition means fires can catch and spread quickly. Outdoor burning is not recommended. So that red flag warning is in effect until 7 tonight. And it'll be cool and clear tonight with an overnight low of 29. Okay, so I love being live in the studio, but it's even better when I have some good company with me. And right now, there's a singer-songwriter who I've been listening to for about, 4 years now.
Yeah.
As he appears locally, his name is Mike Brown, and he's here live in the studio with us. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
All right. So I just happened to catch Mike last night in Calicoon at one of the local music establishments, Rafter's Tavern. And I just am always so impressed.
Thank you.
You've played Rafters quite a bit.
I love that place.
Yeah.
The trick is I stay upstairs and write usually afterwards.
So. You've told me that you've written a couple songs in the room upstairs at Rafters.
I think I've written more songs in the upstairs of Rafters on a Monday when no one's there than probably any other hotel that I've stayed at.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Calicoon's good for writing.
So it's hard for me to categorize music. Everybody wants to know, what kind of music do you play? And the terms are up. I mean, you know, the vocabulary has gotten so big trying to accommodate all the different styles of music. I wouldn't necessarily call you Americana.
I usually say Americana, but that's,
it's just too generic. Yeah. It's so generic. Pop folk.
Sure.
But it's not really pop.
Yeah.
But the thing that I love about your music is you say what you have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I always say on stage, I don't play covers and I don't write fiction. So.
Uh-huh. I like that when you said I don't write fiction. That was really telling.
Yeah, I appreciate songwriters that can tell a narrative, that can tell a story. I basically write the way that certain situation made me feel.
It's a first person perspective.
Yeah, it's not poetry.
It's like, Paul Simon writes a song about, I've got a job at the car wash. You know he doesn't.
Yeah.
That's a third-person narrative. A lot of songwriters do that.
I've tried writing like that, and if I were to play you any attempts at that, you'd quickly tell me not to do that.
Well, I really love the perspective you have from your first-person vantage point in your songs. So you have released two different recordings?
Yep. There's others
Tell us about that.
I have records from when I was younger, but the ones that I would even tell people exist. I have a record called American Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And in a nutshell, I wrote a wish list of people I wanted on a record when I was 21. I'd gone down to Richmond, Virginia to work with David Lowry, who's the lead singer of Cracker, came from Beethoven. But I went to work with him, and we were up late, I think the second or third night down there. The idea was just do a record down there with David producing. And we were up very late one night in the studio office. There was definitely some alcohol consumed, but we kind of joked back and forth about who would be great to play on whatever song we were working on at the time. Might have been American Hotel. And David had suggested David Immergluck, who's the guitar player, steel player in the Counting Crows. He also plays with David on a bunch of stuff. But wow. I'm like, oh, could we? It was kind of like a light bulb coming on moment where I realized, like, oh, we could actually get that dude to play on it. He's like, yeah, you should do that. And then we started kind of joking about other people, and he went to bed, and I stayed up and wrote wish lists, half drunk. And
And but did it come to pass?
Yeah, I ended up making a record. God. So I essentially wrote a wish list of people in a perfect world that I'd have on a record that night. I was 21, and I spent from 21 to 26, almost 27, living in my van. I had three vans, but I made a record in all 50 states, drove the little 48.
Now, wait a minute. How can you drive three vans
around? Drive them into the ground.
You leave one in a spot and then you pick up. Oh, I got you. Oh, you didn't mean simultaneously.
Oh,
you
yeah. I would blow one out.
I'm going, then, no, wait a minute. That's a lot of equipment.
Yeah. I blew one out. The first one blew out in Laramie, Wyoming on St. Patrick's Day.
Van life is a very popular thing right now.
Yeah.
Especially in our nomadic Gen Z. They're out there roaming around in
I see the curated photos on Instagram. That was not the way I was living in a van.
I can
still sleep on a hard floor because I used to sleep on a deflated air mattress in the back of a 1994 Econoline. So, yeah.
So, you've been nominated for a Grammy Award.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
So, moving forward so the American Hotel record made it in all 50 states. That was kind of, put all my energy into that. And then.
To all 50 states?
Yeah. Flew to Alaska and Hawaii, but drove to the lower 48, recorded it in all 50, 75 of my heroes play on it.
You think you know somebody.
And that record I sell in a brown paper bag at shows.
You didn't give me any kind of credits on it, though. I had no idea who are all these famous people.
Yeah, I'm not a very good self-advocate. So yeah, I made that record and it kind of just, there was a lot of reasons that it didn't come out commercially. There was a nonprofit that was going to put it out that it ended up being kind of a scamming. So the guy was telling my story and collecting money, and it's a whole
duplicitous people in the music industry. No,
I've got wild music business stories for sure. But it's so there's that record with all these people on it, you know, and then I have a record that I made in between traveling with my childhood friend Zach DeCamp, and we just named the band quote unquote Geneseo, and that record that I made, I play all the instruments on it. Zach and I both sing. That record that was made for $0 has no guests on it. Was done at home with a laptop and a SM57 that got nominated for a Grammy. So the big guest record I sell in a brown paper bag and the record that no effort, I mean effort, but not that kind
of effort. But it was all you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I want to hear you sing. We're going to talk just a little bit more, but you got to play a song. A lot of times I hear a solo musician and I love it. And then I hear him in a band and I'm going, it kind of dilutes that person, you know, it really kind of dilutes it. It depends what the band is like.
Yeah.
But you as a solo performer are mind-blowing.
Thank you.
So I have played, there's a compilation, the Catskills compilation, and I played a couple of your songs on my program quite a few times over the past year or two. So I think it would be really fun for my listeners to hear you play something live that we've already heard. For those of us who've been following along. So the other thing that is very unique about your style, we're going to talk about that after you play. But it sounds like there might be three or four people up on stage with you. However, it's just Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 12 arms. Wait, you can't see, but people, he has 12 arms. Well, he actually has a device. But anyway, I'd love for you to sing a song for us.
Absolutely.
What would you like to start with?
Let's look at a list.
He's got a list, thank God.
I have a master list.
I can't remember any of my songs. Where am I?
I usually tape this on the side of the guitar, but I haven't put it on yet. How about Songs for Seven Fingers?
Songs for Seven Fingers. I believe that's the name of the CD.
Upcoming record, yeah. It's done, and again, it's another record.
Now you make me look at your hands. Did I miss something here?
Well, so that the story of that is I have a metal plate with five screws in that hand, and then
His left hand is two outer fingers.
Yeah, so these don't work, and then this, my index finger, I was putting a recording console in an elevator, and if there was any... Basically, the metal plate in my hand saved this finger from getting completely crushed because it was a commercial elevator that closes top to bottom, and it came down in my hand. And
it's
long
the worst
story short, I can use my middle finger and my thumb on my left hand.
Because I've seen you when you do the trills.
Yeah, the important one works.
When you do the trills, you're using those. He does. He's an amazing performer. We're going to keep talking about it, but you'll know a lot more once you hear him play.
Sure.
So he's got to like get into position.
Let me scoot over there. Yeah.
So the other thing I noticed, it's interesting when you look at someone on stage, you're looking kind of at a mirror image. And I didn't figure out until last night that he's a left-handed guitar player.
Southpaw.
So it's a horrible thing for a musician to have their hands damaged. But the important one on the guitar is the one you use to fret and make all the chords. Yeah. So his right hand was undamaged. It all worked out. All right.
Good.
Mm-hmm, sounds great.
It should be good.
Take it.
Seven fingers.
and alone in a Cadillac in a parking lot on Allen in December. I put her through the stupid things I do. I think she tried to love me, but you know, I don't remember.
Mike Brown. Mike Brown in a solo performance. I think she tried to love me, but I don't remember. Oh, man. That is so moving. I'm up and I'm waving my arms around people. So, you know, as I said, it sounds like there's three or four people. There's an electronic device that Mike uses called a looper pedal. And, you know, I was first introduced by seeing Ed Sheeran in Wembley with, you know, looper pedals up on stage, and he's layering his songs, and I'd never seen anyone else do it. And the first time that I saw Mike Brown and I saw him use this looper pedal, it just boggled the mind. So the way it works is you heard him play a rhythm when he started. He plays that rhythm, and the looper records it. And then when you get to a specific end, like you're at the end of a major, you click the button, and then that thing just loops. It just plays and plays. And then it's playing the rhythm, and then he lays down some other rhythm guitar chords, and now those two tracks are playing. And then he'll play a little lead, and those are all playing, and then he sings, and he's playing, and he's singing and playing while all that's going on. And not only does he have a guitar that he stands up and plays, but there is another guitar laying down on a surface, and he plays it like it. So he'll switch from one guitar to another in the middle of a song.
It's all very old stuff.
So we need to have your voice a little louder.
A little louder?
Yeah, on the vocals. So the other thing that's fascinating about Mike, and I'm talking a lot, he should be talking, is the equipment that he uses, because he finds, like, he's got a 1911 mandolin, bass mandolin to cello. He's got the microphone he's singing in. I ask him, I said, what kind of microphone is that? It looks really strange.
It's a 1952 Electrovoice 666.
A 1952? That's older than me. I mean, that is older than me. James Brown used to sing through those, you were telling me. So there's an incredible authenticity and individuality there.
All this stuff is old. Yeah, the guitars. My main guitar is 1926 Gibson O1. The steel guitar is a 1924 Weisenborn. It's a hollow neck. And then the mandocello is a 1911 Gibson. And then a 1962 Fender Princeton and a 1952 Electric Voice mic.
But he also has a Fender Acoustasonic, which is rather modern, but you know, but it just kind of hides in there in the middle of everything.
That's the whole PA.
So, you know, who do you see like that? There's nobody else like you. It's truly astounding. I'm just blown away, Mike. I'm so glad you could play for us.
Built it up over.
I just want to hear another song. I know. I just want to hear another song.
Sure.
Yeah, man.
Another looping one.
So is there some way you could bring the voice up? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Because right now, the way this works at the studio is he's got all his equipment set up in the room. And all we have right here in the room, so we have a lot of microphones, and it's just picking up the sound that's in the room.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's plugged into the board or anything. So this is what it would hear like if you heard him in person, except you'd get to see Mike's a very handsome young man with dark blue eyes, and he's got a full beard. You don't look like the music you play. I expected you to play bluegrass or some kind of, like, you know, and you come out and it's like sophisticated.
The beard is a shield.
The beard is a shield. Oh, I see. Okay, well, everybody has their thing. At least you know what yours is. So what's the song you're going to sing for us?
A song called June.
June.
It's either Wait For Me to June. Or
Wait
June.
For Me to June.
I can't remember.
I heard you sing it last night.
Yeah.
And I had a whole new interpretation on it. It's beautiful. You know how you want to reach out to somebody. You're in a romantic thing and you want them to wait for you. And then, you know, if you wait for me, I'll wait for you. It's an incredible, beautifully expressive song. This is Mike Brown live in the studio. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on Radio Catskill. You're listening local. It doesn't get more local than this. But, you know, it's like you can go to the farmer's market and get really fresh produce. And you can go out to the cidery and drink really fresh wine. Or you can turn on Radio Catskill and hear live music that you're never going to find anywhere else. Unless you go out and buy the music. And you're playing
tonight. Yeah, I've never played there before. Van Smokey.
Tell us more.
That's all I know. I don't know where I am half the time. If I don't look at my calendar.
Say the name of it again.
Van Smokey.
It's here in our area.
Yeah. It's super close to here.
I don't know it either.
Like 10 minutes from here, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so he's going to sing a song. It's called Wait to Me Till June, yeah. I think. All right. This is Mike Brown.
Set out for San Jose, but wound up in Santa Barbara, cutting lines and counting days. Now it's one more night of motel lights, no sleep is coming soon. I hit the road last winter, now it's one more wait till June. But if you could wait till I get back, I'll wait for you forever. Yeah, I will keep my together for you. If you wait for me till June. long as it takes. I will wait as long as it takes. As long as it takes.
Here in the studio, wait for me till June. Wow. Okay, did you feel that, people? Did you feel the energy coming out through the radio? It's just an incredible thing. It's like it's the swirlingness of it. It's the completeness of it. I can't believe that you can just do that as a solo performer. So I'm going to ask him to sit down and talk to us for another minute before we hear a couple of more songs here. So really pleased to have Mike Brown live in the studio here today. I got to give incredible respect for anybody who lives their life completely devoted to music and lives as a musician. I myself have faced that struggle all my life, and I never did. Maybe I didn't make the sacrifice that was necessary. Maybe I didn't feel that I could take the risk to just go out in a van and drive around all 50 states. But as far as I know, Mike is a full-time musician and makes his whole life on it. Incredible respect for that.
The last job I had, I was shoveling driveways and mowing lawns when I was 17. So I am officially unemployable other than music. I think the fear of having to do anything else is a big motivator.
Makes you write new songs. I got to write some more songs quick.
I'm truly unemployable because I don't know how it would work for anybody. It wouldn't work. I do not have the skill set.
Do you know how to use a rotary dial phone?
Yeah.
If all else fails,
yeah,
you know, you can get a job in an office. No, but the other thing is too, when I invited Mike to come play on the show today, we didn't have a lot of time to talk about it because I saw him play last night and I realized, you know, I'm live on the radio tomorrow. Wouldn't it be nice if Mike came along? And he shows up today and he brings his guitar in and I'm looking around and I'm going, Could you maybe get your looper pedal and show off your whole rig? So he goes out to his car and he's got every single piece of equipment that he needs. He's got two guitar amps. He's got four guitars. He's got a microphone. He's got a microphone stand. He's got this. I mean, you know, so when you go anywhere in your car, you have all this stuff with you all the time.
Always. Yeah.
All the time. You're like ready to play anywhere, anytime.
Yep.
To me, there's such a romantic kind of a lifestyle. A lot of people romanticize what that life might be like.
It's all I know. It sounds pretentious, but it really is. Like, I don't know anything other than living on the road. I play 250 other than COVID times. I on average play around 250 shows a year. So it's just most of my life is on the road.
What are you doing those under 100 days? You're taking time off. No.
I'm home making records.
So you live upstate.
Yeah, I bought an old had it 15 years now, but I bought an old church outside of Geneseo. It's built in 1828. It's an old Methodist church, and I bought that and put a recording studio upstairs. So the main sanctuary is the studio, and then I live down where the Sunday school used to be.
I love that. I think Eric Vanderzee and Jenna Pell also live in an old there's a lot of old churches that are being
churches,
bought.
Schoolhouses. Uh-huh.
There's a church for sale in Jeffersonville, and I had fantasized about turning it into a recording studio.
Wonder how much they're asking.
I don't know, but you know, I've sung in a lot of churches as a hybrid musician, a classical musician. I've done a lot of church singing, and when you go into a room with stone walls and a stone floor,
yeah,
you get like a 3 or 4 second natural reverb. You could just sing as softly as you wanted, and it would swirl and fill that space. There are amazing acoustic spaces.
I got very lucky with my space too.
That's fabulous.
Well, there was a remodel that happened in the 60s, so they dug a basement for it. But one of the things they did is the plaster walls had cracked, and rather than fix the plaster, they thought they'd update it. So one of the parishioners had built, I think, the Xerox building in Rochester, and he had all this leftover acoustic tiling from this job he did in the 50s. So he just had this in his garage and said, oh, we can use all this kind of 10-year date, because it was 10 years dated at that point. Nobody wanted it. So they put all this acoustic tiling on all the walls in there, which I would never do that to a historical space, but it was already done when I got it. So you walk into that room, and usually with a boxy room, you get a lot of standing waves.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a relatively
flat
room.
Flat.
So it's big sounding, but it sounds not dissimilar to some of the bigger, like I worked at Ocean Way in LA when that still existed, and some other studios like that. Very similar sound to like some of the bigger old LA Hollywood studios, which I got very lucky. Found it at the right time.
Were you doing engineering or were you recording?
I was still, at that point, I was working on records out in LA and also still finishing the traveling record. So, yeah. I mean, I started recording when I was 13 and I've just been making records for myself and other people since then. So.
You know, it just, I've said this on the air before, you know, commercial success is no guarantee of artistic success, you know, and I say that to comfort myself. Because I kind of let go of the idea that I could be a full-time musician. But, you know, there's a certain trade-off somehow. You have to give up, I don't know, you've done it so long that you're secure in it. You're very secure in it. I really would love to see you on a giant stage with 20,000 people in an arena. I feel that you could hold the attention of that large an audience.
I've played some of those shows, and it's interesting. I mean...
You play a lot of smaller venues.
Tons of small venues. I do tons of small stuff. But that makes the bar and brewery and distillery gigs make the pin drop theater gigs so much sweeter. I don't always love playing to a loud bar crowd, but it makes the good gigs really easy. Like I don't get nervous when I go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more nervous doing radio than I am. Standing on stage.
I walk in here every week for 10 years and my heart still speeds up.
Yeah.
You know, I press the button and I'm going, okay, mm-hmm. Hi. You know, yeah.
And a strange thing because there's nobody, you know, that there are people listening, but we're in a room and yet you can stand in front of 100 people and it's like, that's fine. No big deal.
Sometimes I find that a smaller audience is more intimidating to perform for than a 1,500 seat auditorium or something, you know. But, here's a loaded question. What would you want? What do you want as a musician? What would you like?
If it's other than what, I'm pretty happy.
Besides money. I mean, money's not the goal.
Yeah. I mean,
it doesn't seem like money's the goal.
It's not at all. I mean, I have my building. I
need a manager who's a businessman.
That is something, I legitimately would like.
Yeah.
I don't love doing, cause I do everything on my own.
I get that.
And that part. I despise booking. I just do not like booking. It's one of those things that still gives me anxiety. And I think that and maybe some more stability with that. Just knowing having the calendar put together for me would be amazing. That may never happen. I'm happy to do the work. I'm lucky to be able to do the work.
But you know, I mean, when I think about what would I wish for you?
Yeah.
What would I wish for you?
Yeah.
Is a manager would come in not to just relieve you the sterile clerical paperwork of calling people and booking and getting times and getting checks and traveling and figuring it all out. But, you know, there's so many musicians now. The music industry has changed so much that how do you step up into a larger audience?
Yeah. And I would,
and that's what a manager could do for you.
I would love to have that because I think the biggest thing for me, the thing I like the least about this is the rejection. To have a buffer zone between the no's or the no callbacks or, you know, the email and then the no follow up, that kind of stuff is very hard on
Ooh.
On ego and all that. And yeah. I don't love that part of it. So yeah, I think if a manager were to do anything for me, that would be nice to have that buffer zone.
It's interesting because a lot of, think about, well, I'm, you know, Tom Petty, Neil Young, when they talk about their managers and their record labels, there's a marriage, there's a honeymoon, and then there's a bitter divorce.
Yeah.
You know, so it's tricky. It just seems like the potential to be a full-time musician has changed so much.
It's always changing.
It's always changing. It's like you're swimming, you know, you're in uncharted territory.
And so much changed during COVID. I hadn't done a West Coast run since before COVID up until this past summer. And this past summer I did like a month and a half out, all the way out.
Nice.
And I went through a bunch of towns that I used to play all the time before COVID, and 2/3 of the places were gone. Most of the stuff in the Midwest has changed, you know, and it's always changing. Venue owners are always changing. The cool place to play changes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The money disappears and dries up. I mean, you never stop working. If you want to do it for a living, I've had high school kids ask me, my high school band director asked me to come back after I got the Grammy nomination. He asked me to come speak to the high school class. And I thought about it for a bit. And I'm like, I don't really have anything. Not that it'd be negative, but if I was to be honest with a kid about being a musician,
yeah, man, think really hard and long about this.
Well, I went to Berklee School of Music for 3 semesters and dropped out. And I dropped
really?
Out because I had Livingston Taylor as a professor, and Livingston, you know, would be the first to tell you he already kind of won the lottery being James's brother and all that.
I did an interview with Livingston.
I love Livingston, and yeah. Yet I remember at 18, I had him as a professor at 18, and day number one of the class, he said, so there's 20 of you in this class. Statistically, none of you will play music for a living. And he said, mm-hmm. So what my suggestion to you would be, if you can find any other gainful employment that you can handle and do music for the fun of it, I'd highly suggest that. And if you can't, you're welcome to the club.
All right, I'm going to come out of left field here. You know, there's a giant AI revolution going on.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of like freaking out. How is this going to change our world? Think about how much computers change the world. And so AI robots, nobody's going to have to work.
Yeah.
That is if the corporations let it happen. And then music and culture might actually ascend to a more primary place in our culture than it currently is.
I'm okay with that.
As a classical musician, when you go to Europe, for instance, it's supported by, it's a national treasure.
Yeah.
They support the arts, but in the United States, people want to watch the TV.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
Europe is something I'd like to do.
It's
You're
such,
asking
it's
things
such
I'd love
a completely different feeling.
Never toured there.
But I really think that things are changing in this country.
Yeah.
And the ability for me to bring you on air to a public radio audience, to me is incredibly exciting, because I really think that it's a lot more of a valuable contribution to society, but it's just not rewarded financially, except for a very few people, you know, at the top. And they do have a lot of power. Beyonce's playing in Houston. You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. change the world. Anyway, so it's fun to talk to you, but I'd love to hear you play
sure.
a couple more songs.
Absolutely.
Mike Brown is here in the studio, and we're just going to like enjoy it while we can.
Absolutely.
Because this man is on the road. You don't know when he's going to be back. So
I think I'm at Rafters again next month.
So he's moving around. He's oh, my God.
That's fine.
Oh. His guitar, he showed me this guitar. What year is that guitar?
26.
It's a 1926 guitar. And he's played, you know how when you play with a pick and you strum a lot, like Willie Nelson has a hole in his guitar where he strums so much? Well, Mike Brown also has one of those. And his guitar got kind of damaged recently, but... You know, he's the kind of musician that can refurbish and rebuild instruments. So his guitar is his baby, and it's a little worn for wear, but it's got a lot of charm to it.
That'll work.
All right. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Mike. It's really wonderful. Take that microphone.
Oh, sure.
Pull it over. We got a lot of microphones in there. That's good right there. Fabulous. So tell me, what song, live here in the studio, Mike Brown?
That one that's on the compilation, Sticks and Glue.
Sticks and Glue. It's titled Sticks and Glue, but we all know it's really called The Best Is Yet to Come. But the official title is Sticks and Glue.
I do that. I torpedo songs that could have much simpler.
And by the way, one more time, where can people find your music online?
MikeBrown.org.
So M-I-K-E, MikeBrown.org. It's pretty straightforward. And you're on Spotify. And
I think one of my records is on Spotify. I am awful at all that stuff.
Okay, he's awful at all that stuff, so you're going to have to dig.
Both of my records are currently available in brown paper bags at my shop.
Okay, well, there you go. See, you can't find this anywhere. Where are you going to find this?
Yeah.
All right, so Mike Brown Live.
Hey, that'll work.
Sticks and Glue, live here in the studio from Mike Brown. I love that song. I love that song. That song, I don't know why, it makes me cry. It makes me feel like a longing for something that's lost. Sooner or later, our days are done. That's just such a remarkable line. That has so much wrapped up into it. It's beautiful, Mike. It's beautiful. So if you'd like to hear that song yourself, you can hear it again. You can go to mikebrown.org and find this man's music anytime you like. Or you know what? You said you were playing...
Van Smokey. Yeah, I'll swing this guy up.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I'm playing at Van Smokey tonight.
And apparently they're in Livingston Manor at 87 De Bruce Road in Livingston Manor, 12758.
Yeah, I'm playing at 8:30 p.m. tonight.
And you know what? He's going to like pack all his stuff up in the car,
yep.
And he's going to take all that same stuff with him, and over again he's going to play and yep. play and play. What an incredible life. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Mike.
Thank you for having me. I love coming.
All right. Well, I hope this is not the last time, because I know you pass through our area. It's a real pleasure to hear you.
I love it down here. I joke about it, but if I could flatbed my building and move it to the Catskills, I would absolutely do it.
Well, sell your studio upstate and buy the one in Jeffersonville.
Oof.
Check it out,
I'm sure,
man.
Probably a little too rich for my blood. Well, I got real lucky with my building.
Did you really?
I bought that from the church. The Calvary Chapel had it, and they had a bunch of other people that were interested in it and ended up selling it to me for less than the other offers because I wasn't going to make it into a split level home. But I paid $50,000 for that building with a 10-year mortgage. So when I had my mortgage, it was $422 a month.
Congratulations. So
that's
you're
a musician salary, right?
Yeah.
There.
That's a musician salary right there. Well, what else can I say? All right. So this is like the best part of radio for me, this kind of a live performance and being able to, you know, bring the community out onto the waves. And I know a lot of people are new to our area. So if you have a chance, there's so much going on here. There's so much talent.
There is.
There's theater. There's dance. There's music.
Yeah.
And I love it here.
Me too.
And I'm so glad that you traveled through our area.
So I love coming down here. It's my favorite area to play.
Thank you again so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad you asked me.
I'm Kathy Geary. You've been listening to Now and Then, our program today with live music from Mike Brown and a couple of the latest songs from Jesse Wells. I hope you enjoyed the performance on today's program. I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. And once again, thank you so much for listening.
Support comes from Sullivan 180, building healthy communities through people, places, and policy one degree at a time. More information at Sullivan180.org. From The River Reporter, the community newspaper covering four counties in Pennsylvania and New York along the Upper Delaware River. RiverReporter.com. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Made possible by listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org. Listen on air, live streaming at WJFFradio.org, or ask your smart speaker to play Radio Catskill.